Good morning. Hello, everyone. The City Council is back from recess, and this is the Committee on Council meeting for April 18, 2016. To my right is Councilmember Mary Norwood, and to my left is Councilmember Natalie Archibong. Councilmember Joy Shepherd. We are waiting for Councilmember Natalie Archibong so that we'll have a quorum, but we do not have a quorum at this minute. So, Ms. Natalie Archibong has came in the room, and so that we do have a quorum. So, I'll officially call the meeting to order. I've introduced the members. I'll entertain a motion to adopt the agenda. All those in favor? All those opposed? Hearing none, it's approved. Without objection, we'll approve the minutes from the previous meeting. I'll entertain a motion on the adoption of the full council agenda. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Hearing none, it's approved. We will now receive public comment pertaining to items on the agenda. It's limited to 2 minutes, and we have Mr. Ben Howard.
Yes, thank you very much. Good morning and welcome back to all. Ben Howard, Senior Advocate. I guess, let's see, since we only have one paper, that's the communications for Takuma Brown, I think I'll just like to go to the requested items. And regarding number 5, which was requested on March 7th, having to do with problems during polling precincts. I'm wondering if we here at the city can help Fulton County and the post office in getting the word out about changes in precincts. And I know of two right now, 08P and 09H, and I just don't know how we're going to get, apparently they're getting the word out, but there are so many people, and let's just put it this way, it made the front page of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that there was a problem with precincts, so I don't know, maybe we can help. And since we only have that one person, the clerk, maybe during election years we can get her an aide to kind of help with that part of her job, that function that she has been given by the state. I don't know what the title of that is. Okay, and then...
She is the election superintendent.
Yeah, thank you very much.
She does have assistance, but we'll talk more about that later.
Okay, very good. All right, so that'll be it for items on the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're asking the clerk to come. That's one of the items that we've discussed in the briefing, and we just got through discussing in chair's meeting, and I'll have her give a report.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay, now we will go to the items on the agenda, which is 16C 5027, communication from council members Carla Smith, District 1, Kwanzaa Hall, District 2, Ivory Lee Young Jr., District 3, Cleta Winslow, District 4, and Michael Julian Bond, Post 1 at large, appointing Mr. Jerry Brown as a member of the Elder Crimes Task Force. This was favorable by the Public Safety and Legal Administration Committee, and I'll entertain a motion. There's a motion to approve. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Hearing none, it's approved. Okay, I want to talk about a couple of items, more than a couple. One is the issue related to councils. Expenses, that's a paper that Mr. Howard didn't ask about today, but is usually asked about council posting our expenses online. There's a companion paper that is in the Finance Committee related to the council posting it online. We did have a work session that was joint with Finance Committee, and the takeaway from it was, where is the public? What does the public think about this? And does the public even care or want it? So Ms. Norwood and I, who were co-sponsors of the legislation, said that we would do a public engagement. So we're going to get together, we said, after the recess. And we will be going to MPUs and neighborhood groups, sharing the information, getting input from the public, and then coming back to the council and hopefully having another joint work session or public session with the Finance Committee so that the community can give their input into it, and then hopefully the council can decide one way or the other if this is something that we will pursue. Anything else on that? The other issue are the evaluations of the clerk and the director. As I just told one member, I had passed that information along to the president's office for tabulation of the evaluations that we received. I understand that he would like to have a meeting of myself and Mr. Juan, who are sort of the in a supervisory role, to discuss those evaluations, and then we will move that information to the full council so that everyone's aware. We also need to keep in mind that we should start working, and Theo, don't let me forget, on a renewing or redoing an evaluation tool for next year. And one of the things that we discussed was doing a 360 evaluation, so we would have input from the staff of the research as well as the clerk's office that we can combine with the council's evaluations to get a better feel of how we're moving in those two positions. The council budget, I'm going to be meeting with Ms. Williams. She said that there's no major changes in that budget, but I will be meeting with her, and then we will certainly get it out to everyone. And I appreciate her getting, and I asked the clerk to do the same with her budget so that we are clear prior to the budget being set in stone where we are, in case there are any changes that need to be made. There was one issue that was just brought up in the chair's meeting that I have asked Theo to look at in terms of legislation for the council to debate, and that is with the new requirements, anyone that works over 30 hours is supposed to have the option of being able to have benefits, is what we were told. What happens with that is it throws out an equity issue in council budget in terms of all of us getting the same amount of money. One way to address that would be that if a member, the code already requires, and that's why I asked them to pull that code section, that we have, I think it's up to three, I think we amended it to three. But it's either two or three, but I think it's three. Three of our staff members who are eligible for benefits that we will pay. So what I'm suggesting is to keep the equity, if you choose to have more members than the code allows that we've all agreed on, then you also agree that the amount for the benefits for that person would come out of your expense account. That would be something that would be deducted for your expense account. So then that way everybody still has an equitable amount of money, and because some members may choose to opt to have five or six people who have benefits and others are only having three or less. So though that legislation will draft it and we'll have time to discuss it, but we need to make some decision before the budget so that we're clear that if you choose to have more than three people who are having those benefits, that it would come out of your expense account. And what I understand, which happened from Ms. Williams, I don't know why she isn't here, because I would like her to respond, but this was done and council members may not even know that they reached out to any employees that you have that may be working more than 30 hours that was not receiving benefits, to ask them if they wanted to receive the benefits. And some of those members did respond, so we've got to work on that communication piece is why we weren't aware of it. Heavy handed, Ms. Shepherd and Ms. Norwood.
So, you know, that goes to another point that I think that we need to be very clear on at the beginning, and I think this is something in reference to Ms. Williams, is that we need to be putting out an employees package on the beginning in terms of all the things, and that every council member should be going over that and clear that when we hire people, that these are the rules, and that, you know, I know that every council members have different way of doing things, but we should have some generic, basic, standard rules that apply to everyone. You know, it's not about, you know, well, I do my different, because we know we all do things different. But in terms of what you're saying, is in my mind, it should be something that should be clear to every council member. Like, for example, in my situation, I have 1, 2, 3, including myself, who are one is full-time, but most of them are retired. And like, for instance, myself, I don't receive City of Atlanta benefits. I still go with my company I retired from. I have another employee, ever since she's been with me, company she retired from. Another employee, they retire from, and they receive benefits from there. So when I do hire folks, I ask.
Right.
You know, but I'm also very clear in terms of what you're saying, that, and I do believe it's three, that in terms of benefits. So when I'm hiring, I'm always looking at that in terms.
Yeah, but this is what happened, Ms. Shepherd, on this. It wasn't anybody's fault. Ms. Williams, come on up. She didn't even know. It just kind of popped up on us. And so that's why we need to address it, because there is bigger requirements saying that if people work over 30 hours, they have the option of having it or not. And my point to council members, as you're doing your hiring, doing what you say, trying to find out what their needs are going to be, because if you choose to have more than three that have benefits, what we're saying is to keep equity amongst members. That fourth person that you have benefits from, you are also opting that the cost of that will be taken out of your expenses.
All right. I'm just good conversation. I just think that we need to get it clarified.
I agree. I just heard about it this morning. Ms. Williams.
Tangela Williams, Council Staff Director. Correction, there are two that are allowed to have benefits.
I remember we did an amendment, I don't know, before you, that okay. talked about three. It is not two, it's three. And we can maybe need to go back and look at the records.
Okay.
No, it's three. I remember us.
I remember three too, but it's either
amendment.
Two or three. We'll find out.
We will look at and see what the code says. But
maybe
you have. I will let you know that three. That staff throughout the city received a letter directly from HR. It didn't come through anybody. That this was a legal requirement that they, if they had 30 hours, on average 30 hours or more, they were allowed to have benefits. And I found out, again, when one of the employees from one of your offices contacted Mary Tanner of my office to figure out what they needed to do to get the benefits. And it was to take the physical that's required. And they also, everybody that received the letter, if they did not accept the benefits, they had to sign something acknowledging that they declined the benefits to ensure that the city was in compliance with the law. And of the staff that received letters, we had 1, 2, 3, 4 that qualified but declined. Two people qualified, one was accepted. And then there was one that qualified but has since resigned. So of everybody that received it from council, only one actually accepted and now has benefits. But with this in mind, any new employees, keep in mind that if they come on and they do meet that 30-hour requirement, the city will send them this paperwork to get benefits.
And that's why we need to be proactive in understanding, and council members being aware that if you hire more than the two or the three, whichever the code requires, that you are then saying, understanding that you need to budget for that out of your $30,000-$35,000 that we have in expense account to pay for that person's benefits. Or you have to have them under a certain number of hours requirements that doesn't trigger that. And we need to get the direct information from that. Ms. Winslow. Ms. Norwood was next. She's good, so go ahead.
I guess that's what I was trying to understand, because I have
Ms. Winslow.
Yeah, okay.
I forgot to recognize you.
No, that's okay. No, I wasn't hesitating for that. I think I only have two people that are receiving benefits, I believe. So if it's somebody that works, more than 30 hours a week, then is that what you're saying? When you say 30 hours, you're saying 30 hours a week, right?
Yes.
Okay, then that triggers them being eligible
to
receive
Benefits.
City benefits.
Yes.
Okay, but they have a right to accept or decline?
Yes, they have. They will be extended, and they have to sign something acknowledging that they were that they're declining, that they were offered to ensure that the city is in compliance. And I have a summary of that, and I'll get it to every council member today. I sent it out earlier, but I'll actually bring you hard copies into council just so that you have it, summarizing what's required. Okay. And there was one person.
This kind of came under the Affordable Care Act?
Yes.
That's what I'm
thinking. Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Now it sounds familiar.
It did.
Yeah, okay, okay. All right, so I got you.
Go ahead, Ms.
I didn't know, wait a minute, but I thought, wait a minute, there were groups that opted out of that. There were some groups that opted out on the federal level. I don't know which groups. This is what I heard, let me just say that, about 5 or 6 years ago. That there were groups that opted out. Now, I don't know how true that is, or that within the legislation that was passed by the federal government, and I don't know if there were union groups or trade, I don't know who it was. I just heard something about that. So I want to get some clarity on that. I don't know if there was a loophole in the law. I'm just saying I just heard it. I could be totally incorrect, but there was an option.
Okay, we'll follow up,
yeah.
And I'll get the background.
And I'm not saying we were opting out. I'm just saying that's what I heard.
Okay,
Shepherd.
Option.
I just want to make sure that in terms of going forward, so if an employee comes in, if I have a new employee that comes in, the process is one is that, of course, they have to go through your department for sign up in terms of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So is that where they will be given that option?
They will be given the option. Well,
or they will be
initially
number one notified.
Right. We give you, when you bring on a new employee, a sheet where you say how much, you know, what their hourly rate will be, whether they'll receive benefits, et cetera. We get that information from you. And when you check these are the ones that will be receiving benefits, we automatically offer it.
Okay.
But if they by default start to range in over that 30-hour range, HR will automatically send it to them. So we probably
HR will send it to who?
The employee. They receive the letters directly from HR. So we probably I will work with them and then bring it back with Councilmember Moore on seeing how we want to just incorporate it in our. If you say up front that you think they're going to work over that amount, because some people have people that work 20 hours and then it wouldn't affect them. So we wouldn't automatically give it to them. It would be on your specifications.
So number one is we as council members have to notify our employees on the front end, you know, in terms of their options.
Yes.
Number two, if they go over 30 hours, then HR, there will be a flag that will go up. And then the flag, and so then you will be given the option to the employee, but with the council also get notification, hey, your employees are over 30 hours, and you are now, how do we as council members get that notification also?
And that's what I'm going to work with HR on, that we need to have them to notify us directly. And so I called him, and that's when he actually sent me a list of someone in benefits sent me a list of, I said I need a list of everyone in council that you sent this letter to.
Okay. And the other last thing, Ms. Moore, is I just want to make sure that we get clarity on this two or three.
They just gave it to us, and we're looking at it.
Yeah, but it's four.
And it seems like it's four.
What? No.
Okay, it says number of assistants per council member. Each member shall be entitled to employ up to three senior council assistants. And the seniors, do they get... Oh, wait a minute, I'm just getting with the first part. You were showing me the senior part.
Yes.
So the senior, if you go to the other page, assistants get benefits. They receive the same ones. And then it says,
it is three.
Shall be entitled to three senior
it is
or
three.
Up to two special council assistants. And then the special ones also can participate. So it's actually
Three. But three. At the very bottom, you see it says
no more than three employees.
Right. Right. Whatever. So it's actually three. I just hadn't got to that part yet.
This is actually a document that I prepared, a summary that I prepared for one of our
retreats. And so what we're going to need to do is to keep this as it is, but also make allowances or some sort of amendment that says that if a council member chooses to have an employee that falls into the category of having health benefits, that they will pay for those benefits out of their expense account, so that way you keep equity amongst council members. That's the issue, is that if you choose to have someone other than over three that have to have benefits, somebody has to pay for those benefits. And we need to do that before we get into budgeting for the next year.
I think this is something that we need to be very clear on in terms of our retreat and budget, because what we don't want to have is a situation where, you know, the assumption is that someone is part-time and they're under 30 and then they get over and then the council members don't have the money in place to actually incur the benefits.
Well, that's why I'm saying, council members, we're going to have to be really clear about, you know, how many people we hire.
I understand what you're saying. I just want to make sure that we also, every council member is very clear about if that's the way we're going, then that's the rules. It's just like now we sit here and some of us says, no, it's two members, no, it's three, you know, and then you get into confusion as to what's going on. And so we need to make sure that that's clear with everybody.
And I think that this is helpful, that what Ms. Williams did, and then when we have some legislation, we can certainly sit down and make sure everybody's clear on what we're doing. I'm not sure if and when, I don't know if anybody's talked about if there's going to be a retreat before the budget, but this would be a good retreat item on top of what we're doing as a committee to make sure everybody's aware. But if that doesn't happen, we still need to move forward, because we need to have something in place before the budget so we're clear about how to move forward. Ms. Norwood?
Well, I just wanted to say that we have historically said that every council member would get the same allotment from the city, you know, for council member expenses, for employees. But it is a policy decision for us to say that with this 30 hours kicking in, do we wish to have that continue to be the policy, which historically it has been, or do we want to go in a different direction? So I do think there's a policy decision for us to make as a governing body.
And the only reason I was saying it the way I said it is because we have made a policy that you can have three. And so I think that it's up to the council member to decide if they choose to hire people that work more than 30 hours or people who are eligible. And if you choose to do that, that's fine. You can have 20 people who get benefits. Just understand that you're going to pay for it. You're right.
Well, I think I'm going to what Ms. Norwood is just saying. I think it's a policy that we should categorically have in place that is defined. It shouldn't be, well, I think it should be something that we all should discuss, all of our colleagues on council should discuss together. And, you know, if there's another option, we can talk about that. I don't know. You know, but I just think that this is something that we shouldn't just arbitrarily say, well, I think this is, you know, one or two people. It should be something that we all should discuss. I mean, not that I'm saying I would, but some people may recommend an increase just to cover that. I don't know. I'm not saying that that's the case. But I think that we should look at other options if there's a possibility there are other options.
And I'm open to that. Only thing that I'm suggesting, and I will continue to ask for them to draft that one. That's one way of handling. It doesn't necessarily have to be introduced, so that's one discussion. And if we get together, whether we do it in the committee or hopefully at a retreat, if there's other suggestions, we can do that as well. I'm not married to any suggestion. I just know that we need to address it. Yes, Ms. Winslow.
And I guess I'm not clear on what we're talking about, what somebody's talking about introducing. I think that...
Well, I wasn't saying introducing. I was saying having a drafting, that suggestion of if you have more than three people, that's fine. Just understand that you would do it. That's just one suggestion. I'm not saying...
agreed with... with our other employees that we have, that we wanted them to have benefits, then that will come out of our budget.
Right.
Yeah, I don't have any problem. problem with that.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that that would be one suggestion, but I think Ms. Shepherd is right. If everybody, I'll put that suggestion on the table, and there may be some other suggestions, and we may have a couple of ways of going about it, but it does need to be addressed one way or the other.
Yeah, and I think we just need to, all the council kind of needs to hear about this all at one time. Yeah, because I remember it was something that we heard maybe 3 or 4 years ago when the Obamacare was passed, but
never happened.
I think for some reason, I was thinking, I can't speak for anybody else, that it didn't necessarily pertain to government. I thought it was private industry. And that's why I was talking about the opting out.
No, it's government. Do you want to say something? Everybody.
I think because it was never talked about before us earlier, that people were just kind of presuming what the law was saying. And that's why I talked about opting out, that I didn't know that because we already had health care for our employees, for our main employees, I thought that that didn't carry forward with government employees. That was just my thinking at the time. I'm not saying I'm right.
Good morning. I'm Kristen Denny, Law Department. I will admit to not being our HR benefits and attorney, but my personal understanding of the Affordable Care Act is that there is no opting out. But I'm happy to verify all of that and report back.
Those are just probably rumors.
Thank you.
There are a lot of rumors.
Thank you. I know it's government. Why? Because I remember talking to a counterpart in Fulton County where they had to make some wholesale changes, where they had a lot of people classified as part-time employees to avoid paying the benefits. And because they were working over 30 hours, they either had to let them go or they had to provide benefits for them, and they did provide benefits, and that caused a budget issue. So, yes. Ms. Williams.
And I'll say just one other thing. It is city, because when we got the initial list, there are names on there from several other departments. I just pulled out the council piece. So it affects, it's a citywide thing. So I raised the question with our budget liaisons upstairs as to how this was going to be incorporated into budget, because it will impact our budget and everybody else's.
Mr. Wan to take it up citywide. Right now, this is a committee on council. We're gonna get ourselves correct. Anything else you want to share with us?
No, that's it.
All right. Anything
Thanks
else for Ms. Williams? Okay.
Don't mind one clarifying question, and it relates to opting out. What are the potentially?
There is no opt out.
I was incorrect. So the law department straightened me out. So okay. That was just a rumor from about 5 or 6 years ago.
I get it, but
so
I still want to listen to you. But what are the potentially detrimental factors that cause an employee not want to accept these benefits? Why would an employee decline?
Some people don't accept them because they're receiving those benefits from somewhere else. They may have been retired and receiving benefits from somewhere else.
Or their
they
spouse.
May be employed. Their husband or wife may have benefits that they're a part of that plan. So there's various reasons, and that's for the individual to decide.
Appreciate that. And a follow-up, if you don't mind. Is it 30 or more or greater than 30?
She said 30, and I think it's 30 or more.
30 or more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
thank you. The next issue is Elms. We understand that there is a new software update that's being provided. We should get it today or somewhere very soon, and then our clerk's office will do their due diligence in testing it, et cetera. It's supposed to address our issues, and so we will see. The next one is committee purview. We're going to put out a memo inviting all council members, one, to solicit any input or concerns or questions or recommended changes that they have to our committee, our 7 standing committees, what's under the purview of those committees, et cetera, and then compile all of those. And then at our next committee on council briefing, we'll do it 15 minutes early, so hopefully the first 15 minutes we can get through our agenda, and from 9 to 9:30 we can discuss those changes and see if we can come up with something to compile in terms of legislation that all council members can give input on in terms of any changes that they see to committees and committee purview, and that will be in the next cycle. And then the other issue, which I would ask the clerk to come and give us a briefing on, she's done it two or three times at the briefing and at the chair's meeting, but the precinct and polling places issue. As you know, we left here requesting to have a meeting with the Board of Elections, and I'll let her start with how we were unsuccessful in that and what has taken place since.
Good morning. I'm Rhonda Dauphin Johnson, Municipal Clerk, and I also serve as Election Superintendent for the City of Atlanta. The recent election held March 1st, 2016, during that election there were some serious concerns that the City of Atlanta expressed as the citizens faced situations where they were unaware of the correct polling place, largely, and several other situations. I have relayed those concerns to the Fulton County Board of Registration and Elections and the staff on behalf of the City of Atlanta. The council president has also reached out and expressed the concerns, and as a result of that, we have asked that members of the Board of Registration and Elections the staff meet with the City Council, with members of the City Council. We have not defined the actual forum of that meeting, but we have requested a meeting so that the issues of concern can be discussed and that both jurisdictions can work jointly to address those concerns and work towards them not occurring in the future. Briefly, one of the major issues was the lack of notification. The county has said that there were a variety of reasons why people didn't receive notice. There were, I believe, one or two precincts that the county actually discovered shortly before the election, I think perhaps a week before the election, that the notices had not gone out, and then did work to remedy that situation by sending the notices out, but also placing additional workers at those particular polls. But there were some that they were unaware of. And there were particularly precincts in District 10 and District 11 that had serious problems on Election Day. At this time, we have not received a response in terms of when that meeting could occur, but I attended the Board of Elections meeting on Thursday last week, April 14th. So did Deputy Clerk Forrest Webb and Council Member Martin. We again expressed the city's concerns at that time, and we're looking forward to working with that board and with the staff of the Department of Registration and Elections to remedy it.
Thank you. Ms. Moore had to step out for a moment. Are there any questions from my colleagues? We've just been joined by Councilmember Michael Julian Bond. Ms. Winslow.
You know, for a number of times before each election, we had been asking if they couldn't do anything else, but when there's a change to a location, at the old voting location, to, you know, because people are a creature of habit, to at least post at the old location where the new precinct is, and that always helps people, because when people get to the old location and they can't find the new one, they don't really know who to call. And we don't know where it is a lot of times, and they don't know to call Fulton County Registration and Election. So was that talked about at all?
That was discussed, and particularly in the precinct that I mentioned, that they became aware of the lack of notice. There were extra notices posted, that effort was made. Whenever there is a change, though, there is a posted notice. In the past, what has been...
On the building itself?
on the building itself. In the past, that has been of some concern because depending on where the building is, people have to get all the way up there
yes.
to do that. So we have expressed that concern before, and I do know, I can't say unilaterally, but there have been efforts to place the signage in other places where it should be readily seen by the electors. I know I remember particularly something in District 9. The problem was that I believe it was a school or whatever the facility was had some renovations. So people couldn't even get up to the place where they used to go to vote. And so we made sure that signage was posted along the fence that surrounded the perimeter of the place. So efforts of that type are made, but you can never guarantee that the place that the sign is put is the place that that individual looks for it.
Well, I would tell you, even though we talked about 9 and 10 was major bumbles in my district, also 12, for instance, Lakewood, Stuart Lakewood Library, which was on Lakewood Avenue, was closed. Notices were sent out to residents that they would no longer be, and then right behind the library was Perkinson Elementary School. So both of those places was eliminated as a voting place. So the next place that they were supposed to go was to Perkinson Park, which was farther down the street on Deckner Avenue. A decision was made at the very last minute to close Perkinson Park also and to merge everybody with the new library on Metropolitan Parkway. So I'm voting at the last election, and there's a senior who just, she rode the bus because she didn't have a chance to change her voting precinct. So she says, I'm going to vote anyway. So she rode the bus over, and then she went up. She went to start it at Perkinson, and then when she got there, and what you said is so true, she had to walk all the way into the rec center and realize that that wasn't the place, and she had gotten off the bus. So then she got a ride with somebody over to the library because there was a bunch of people coming there doing the same thing, trying to get a ride to the library to vote. It was just a horrible experience, and it was there was no notification, anything. And people who actually live in the community were saying the same thing. They were saying, well, I was started at Lakewood. I was able to drive from Lakewood to Perkinson, our rec center, and then from Perkinson I had to go to the library, and they were like, Councilmember Shepherd, this is ridiculous. Why didn't they notify us of all of this? And so it was very poor communication on that. And so we really need to resolve that.
One of the things I would ask the council in all 12 districts, certainly, I will send out a list of the issues that we are aware of, and I would ask that you review those, and if there are any additional issues, if you could please reply with that information so that when we forward that list to the county, it will be inclusive of everything that you guys are aware of or that your constituents have reported to you.
Howard, you had a question? And then we will wrap up.
That was good that the two of you and Forrest and CT went down to talk to them. But did they give you any response saying when they would actually meet to discuss details? Did they set up another meeting or something?
A meeting date was not arranged at that time. However, here at the city, we did discuss that both in the Committee on Council briefing and the chair's meeting this morning. And we will, the council president, who did send a letter to Richard Barron, the director of registration and elections, regarding some of these concerns, said that he will again send a request for an actual meeting. Again, what I asked earlier was that the members of council look at your schedules and if you're interested in this issue, just provide prospective dates. It's very difficult, of course, with, you know, 16 members or 15 members and a president to come up with a date that is good for everyone, but we would certainly like to offer the best date possible to them for their response.
Okay.
And in addition, just as we wrap this up, there were and two other suggestions. And once Mr. Martin gave his perspective, which came out of his discussion, I thought that were good ones. One is looking at the city of Atlanta having our own poll watchers that would be at each of the precincts so that we can determine and document any issues that we have. And then the other one was for us not only to engage with the Fulton County Board of Elections, but for us to go to the state, because Fulton County Board of Elections saying that equipment and other things that they have, they were limited by the state. So we want to also think about going to the state to say, if that is the case, state, give Fulton County what they need, so that's not an excuse as to why we're not getting the coverage and the equipment that we need. Did you have something?
Yes, I just wanted to say that Ms. Dolphin Johnson, maybe April 29th, which is a Friday, or May 6th, which is a Friday, would not be conflicting with council committee meetings and full council meetings. So those two might be a possibility. I think it'd be great for us to poll council members with two or three or four suggestions so that we know, so that we get somewhere rather than 15 people giving you 15 different views.
Well, she's compiling all of it. They had a matrix. So yeah, we just need to make sure Ms. Shepherd's is on the list. I know, okay, she's got mine. We just want to get them all. Yeah. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, we stand adjourned. Thank you.
Do today is really lay out where I think the city is, where it's going, and then preserve some time to have a conversation, because I think that's when we get the most out of a meeting.